Chapter 4, Christian Growth.
I have been shown that those who have a knowledge of the truth and yet allow all their powers to be absorbed in worldly interests are unfaithful. They are not by their good works letting the light of truth shine to others. Nearly all their ability is devoted to becoming sharp, skillful men of the world. They forget that their talents were given of them, of God, to be used in advancing His cause. If they were faithful to their duty, the result would be great gain of souls to the Master, but many are lost through their neglect. God calls upon those who know His will to be doers of His word. Weakness, half-heartedness, and indecision provoke the assaults of Satan, and those who permit these traits to grow will be borne helplessly down by the surging waves of temptation. Everyone who professes the name of Christ is required to grow up to the full stature of Christ, the Christian's living head. We all need a guide through the many straight places in life as much as the sailor needs a pilot over the sandy bar or up the rocky river. And where is this guide to be found? We point you, dear brethren, to the Bible. Inspired of God, written by holy men, it points out with great clearness and precision the duties of both old and young. It elevates the mind, softens the heart, and imparts gladness and holy joy to the spirit. The Bible presents a perfect standard of character. It is an infallible guide under all circumstances, even to the end of the journey of life. Take it as the man of your counsel, the rule of your daily life. Every means of grace should be diligently improved, that the love of God may abound in the soul more and more, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Your Christian life must take on vigorous and stalwart forms. You can attain to the high standard set before you in the Scriptures, and you must, if you would be children of God. You cannot stand still. You must either advance or retrograde. You must have spiritual knowledge that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Many who have an intelligent knowledge of the truth and are able to defend it by arguments are doing nothing for the upbuilding of Christ's kingdom. We meet them from time to time, but they bear no fresh testimonies of personal experience in the Christian life. They relate to no new victories gained in the holy warfare. Instead of this, you notice the same old routine, the same expressions in prayer and exhortation. Their prayers have no new note. They express no greater intelligence in the things of God, no more earnest living faith. Such persons are not living plants in the garden of the Lord, sending forth fresh shoots and new foliage, and the grateful fragrance of a holy life. They are not growing Christians. They have limited views and plans, and there is no expansion of mind, no valuable additions to the treasures of Christian knowledge. Their powers have not been taxed in this direction. They have not learned to view men and things as God views them, and in many cases unsanctified sympathy has injured souls and greatly crippled the cause of God. The spiritual stagnation that prevails is terrible. Many lead a formal Christian life and claim that their sins have been forgiven when they are as destitute of any real knowledge of Christ as is the sinner. Brethren, will you have a stinted Christian growth? Or will you make healthy progress in the divine life? Where there is spiritual health, there is growth. The child of God grows up to the full stature of a man or woman in Christ. There is no limit to his improvement. When the love of God is a living principle in the soul, there are no narrow, confined views. There is love and faithfulness in warnings and reproofs. There is earnest work and a disposition to bear burdens and take responsibilities. Some are not willing to do self-denying work. They show real impatience when urged to take some responsibility. What need is there, say they, of an increase of knowledge and experience? This explains it all. They feel that they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, while heaven pronounces them poor, miserable, blind, and naked. To these the true witness says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Your very self-complacency shows you to be in need of everything. You are spiritually sick and need Jesus as your physician. In the Scriptures, thousands of gems of truth lie hidden from the surface seeker. The mine of truth is never exhausted. The more you search the Scriptures with humble hearts, the greater will be your interest, and the more you will feel like exclaiming with Paul, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! Every day you should learn something new from the Scriptures. Search them as for hid treasures, for they contain the words of eternal life. Pray for wisdom and understanding to comprehend these holy writings. If you would do this, you would find new glories in the Word of God. You would feel that you had received new and precious light on subjects connected with the truth, and the Scriptures would be constantly receiving a new value in your estimation. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Jesus says, Behold, I come quickly. We should keep these words ever in mind, and act as though we do indeed believe that the coming of the Lord is nigh, and that we are pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. The vital energies of the Church of God must be brought into active exercise for the great object of self-renovation. Every member must be an active agent for God, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This is a particular work, which must be carried forward in all harmony, in unity of spirit, and in the bonds of peace. No place should be given to criticisms, doubts, and unbelief. The Upper Columbia and North Pacific Conferences, which are now the North Pacific Union Conference, are years behind. Some who ought to be strong and established in Christ are as babes in understanding and experimental knowledge of the workings of the Spirit of God. After years of experience, they are able to comprehend only the first principles of that grand system of faith and doctrine that constitutes the Christian religion. They do not comprehend that perfection of character which will receive the commendation, Well done. Brethren, your duty, your happiness, future usefulness, and final salvation call upon you to sever the tendrils of your affections from everything earthly and corruptible. There is an unsanctified sympathy that partakes of the nature of love-sick sentimentalism and is earthly, sensual. It will require no feeble effort for some of you to overcome this and change the course of your life, for you have not placed yourselves in connection with the strength of Israel and have become enfeebled in all your faculties. Now you are loudly called upon to be diligent in the use of every means of grace, that you may be transformed in character and may grow to the full stature of men and women in Jesus Christ. We have great victories to gain, and a heaven to lose if we do not gain them. The carnal heart must be crucified, for its tendency is to moral corruption, and the end thereof is death. Nothing but the life-giving influences of the gospel can help the soul. Pray that the mighty energies of the Holy Spirit, with all their quickening, recuperative, and transforming power, may fall like an electric shock on the palsy-stricken soul, causing every nerve to thrill with new life, restoring the whole man from his dead, earthly, sensual state to spiritual soundness. You will thus become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and in your souls will be reflected the image of him by whose stripes you are healed.